Hi guys, and welcome to the Whole Kit and Caboodle podcast. I'm Casey Hyman. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about something cat-related. We'll cover the various breeds, safety and health topics, and those quirky habits that make our cats so hilariously unique, as well as how to correct problem behaviors. This week, you'll learn about the various worm-like parasites that cats can get. We'll look at how they get them, what they are, what symptoms to watch for, and how to treat them. I'm grateful to you, my listeners, because you allow me to do what I love. So let me know how I'm doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Kit and Caboodle Pod and Twitter at Kit and K-Pod. You can also find the show on YouTube. Just do a search for The Whole Kit and Caboodle. If you enjoy today's episode, please leave a 5-star review wherever you listen. It may seem trivial, but it really does help. If you'd like to monetarily support the show and local shelters, you can do so on my Anchor page at anchor.fm/kittencaboodlepod. You can also make a direct donation on my website at positivecatitudebehaviors.com/mystory. Should you encounter a behavior problem with your cat that requires my professional services, you can contact me through my website, positivecatitudebehaviors.com. You'll find my rates on the consultation page, as well as an informational packet outlining behavior basics that you can download for a small fee. If you'd like to hear more episodes, you can listen to The Whole Kit and Caboodle on most major podcast directories. Cats can pick up a number of parasites, especially if they spend any time outdoors. We've already talked about fleas and the problems they can cause. Now we'll look at the type of worms that can infect our kitties. Heartworm. Heartworm disease is far more common in dogs because cats are more resistant to the parasite and not the best host to support their life cycle. Only a quarter of heartworms will reach adulthood in cats, and less than 20% of those worms will produce an infection. On top of that, most worms don't migrate to the pulmonary arteries and instead end up in other areas of the body. But that doesn't mean they're immune. If your kitty is bitten by a mosquito carrying the parasite, there is a chance, however small, that she could be infected with heartworm. Chances of infection are greater in warm and humid areas that allow efficient mosquito reproduction, especially the southern United States. Symptoms can vary greatly in severity. Some pets will never show any clear sign of infection. Issues arise when the adult heartworms die and cause acute problems during migration, leading to signs of lethargy, coughing, decreased appetite, weight loss, exercise intolerance, vomiting, difficulty and/or fast breathing, open mouth breathing, neurologic abnormalities, heart murmur, and even sudden death. Vets can detect heartworm in a number of ways. Tests for microfilaria, which is the infective form of heartworm carried around by the mosquitoes. These tests often give false negatives. Antibody blood tests. These can detect infections early on, but a positive result does not confirm an adult heartworm infection, and it can even read positive after the infection has cleared. Antigen blood test. This is how vets typically test dogs, but it can only pick up the presence of female heartworms. Cats have very low worm numbers to start with and can only carry male worms, so this test will miss any feline infections. Chest x-rays. Though not definitive, this can help confirm a heartworm infection because it will let the vet look for enlarged vessels, lung edema, and inflammation in the lungs, which typically occur with heartworms. Ultrasound of the heart. Vets use these to help them see actual live worms in the pulmonary artery and right side of the heart. It can also help detect if pressure around the lungs is abnormal, while excluding or confirming cardiac disease. None of these tests are perfect. While positive results, enlarged arteries, and heart changes may increase suspicion, your vet will also use a physical exam alongside these tests to determine the severity of a potential heartworm infection. Treating heartworms in cats is difficult. Therapies common to dogs are toxic for our kitties, and not recommended by the American Heartworm Society. Cats that don't show any clinical signs may be able to be watched over time for spontaneous cure. That's what they call it when the pet's immune system clears the infection naturally on its own and without any problems. Otherwise, your vet may prescribe steroids to impede a strong inflammatory response. Supportive care may be needed during acute periods of respiratory distress. Antibiotics can also remove the bacteria that lives inside heartworms, and bronchodilators can help with any breathing problems. However, because of the difficulty in treating heartworm disease in cats, the preferred method of treatment is surgery. Worms can be removed directly through the heart, but keep in mind that this procedure carries the risk of circulatory collapse and death. Depending on circumstance, vets may also recommend oxygen therapy, IV fluids, or IV steroids and bronchodilators. Emergency vet care is needed if your kitty starts to have trouble breathing or breathes through her mouth. As scary as it is, heartworm is preventable. Treatment may be difficult, but many preventatives exist on the market for cats. Several also prevent intestinal worms and ticks. Kittens can start preventatives at 8 weeks old and continue with it their entire lives. Common brands include HeartGuard, Moxidectin, Milbemycin, and Selamectin. Tapeworm. Tapeworms are common parasites, and they're among the few worms that you can often see with the naked eye. As a tapeworm grows, pieces of its body break into segments and pass into your cat's intestines. You may see dried white or cream-colored segments of the tapeworm in your cat's poop, or you may find them stuck to the fur under your cat's tail. Some tapeworm species will break into segments that are too small to see, while other tapeworm species will look like rice in appearance. If a tapeworm has traveled into a cat's stomach and the cat vomits up the worm, it may come up as a large and moving segment. Cats may also bite or lick their butts or drag them across the floor. Keep in mind, though, that a tapeworm infection is often asymptomatic and, contrary to popular belief, rarely a cause of weight loss in cats. If you notice tapeworms, take your cat to the vet for an evaluation. A fecal sample can be used to diagnose the parasite. It's always helpful to save any worms that you find and bring them to your veterinarian for diagnosis. They can be transported in a sealed plastic bag or jar. The tapeworm requires an intermediate host before developing into an adult. So for a cat to get tapeworms, they need to ingest the intermediate host. Tapeworm eggs are frequently ingested through adult fleas. The fleas actually ingest the tapeworm eggs before jumping on a cat, and then the cat eats the flea and becomes infected. The tapeworm eggs then hatch once they've been digested in the cat's intestines. Other hosts that a cat is likely to ingest include rabbits, birds, and rodents. Scavenging may also lead to an infestation of tapeworms. Treatment for adult tapeworms is given on an outpatient basis in the form of an injection or oral medication. Deworming medications are effective at removing tapeworms and very safe for your cat. After treatment, the tapeworms will typically dissolve in the cat's intestines. You don't usually see an expulsion of the tapeworms into the poop unless it's an unusually high worm load. Keeping your cat free of flea infestations with flea and tick medication is the best protection against tapeworms. However, if an infestation does happen, the environment must be treated along with the cat to prevent recurring infestations. You can go back and listen to the episode on flea anemia for tips on how to beat the fleas. Since cats are fastidious groomers, you may not see the fleas that they're ingesting or know that they are contracting tapeworms until there is an infestation. So ask your veterinarian which flea and tick prevention products are safe for your cat. Keeping your cat indoors and away from outside animals and garbage may also help prevent them from ingesting tapeworms. Whipworms. Whipworms are a type of parasite that burrow themselves into the intestine. The body's immune system reacts with inflammation, causing the cat to experience problems with absorbing nutrients from food. They're small, only about a quarter of an inch long, with a thick backside and thin front end that resembles a whip, hence the name. Whipworms are tricky because eggs are present in the environment and will stay unhatched until they're ingested. Any kitty who drinks contaminated water, licks soil off her paws, or consumes contaminated food can infect herself with whipworm eggs. The eggs land into the small intestine where they hatch into larvae and make their way to the large intestine. Inside the large intestine, they burrow their back end into the colon wall. From here, the parasitic worm will feed and mature into adult tapeworms. A mild infestation of whipworms will show no evident signs or symptoms, but as the worms multiply, the burden of these parasites will begin to take their toll on your pet's body, causing several symptoms including diarrhea, weight loss, inflammatory bowel syndrome, and dehydration. In severe cases, whipworm infestation can cause a hemorrhagic effect inside the colon, causing the appearance of fresh blood to appear in the poop. A severe infection can be recognized by bright red blood in the poop and signs of anemia. If you notice your kitty has been losing weight while still maintaining the same eating habits or is experiencing loose, bloody stools, it's time to schedule an appointment with your vet to ask about a whipworm infection. He'll likely request a stool sample from your cat from the morning of your appointment to diagnose the parasite. The thick-shelled, football-shaped eggs that are normally passed into the environment by the whipworms will be present in the infested cat and can be identified under a microscope. Whipworm infestation is generally treated on an outpatient basis as the medication for whipworms is easy to administer. Dehydrated or anemic kitties may also receive IV care to reverse the effects of the infestation. Anti-inflammatory drugs are also commonly prescribed to alleviate the irritated interior of the large and small intestine. Improvement can be seen in as little as 7 days in non-severe cases, and a total recovery can be expected. The antiparasitic medication will clean out the worms, and your pet will pass them through her poop, so it's crucial to maintain a clean environment in the meantime. Clean your cat's litter box daily, and wash bedding material. Make sure to wear gloves during the cleaning process, as human infestation is a possibility. You may also want to isolate your cat to keep her from infecting other pets during treatment. We'll look at two more types of worms that cats can get after a quick message. Hi listeners, Casey here. I want to take a minute to let you know about another way that you guys can help support me and the work that I do, podcast memberships. While I'm open to relevant sponsorships, I prefer to keep this podcast ad-free while also keeping it free to listen. Unfortunately, running a podcast is not free, and neither is hosting a website. So if you'd like to support the podcast, you can sign up for a monthly or yearly podcast membership. Members will get 2 extra episodes every month. Sometimes it'll be stories about my kitties, member stories, or cat-related news I find while perusing the internet. You'll also get exclusive access for a members-only Discord, where you can chat with me and with each other, and access to my private cat videos on TikTok. And while I keep rough episode transcripts available for free to improve accessibility, members can download cleaned-up versions, kind of like a mini-info packet for that particular topic. Membership costs only $7.99 a month, about the cost of most streaming services these days, or $95.88 for a full year. To join up, hop over to my website, positiveCatitudeBehaviors.com, and click on the membership tab. Payment is handled through PayPal for added security, and at no point do I have access to your payment information. Thanks so much for the support, everyone. Now, let's get back to the episode. Hookworm. Hookworms are one of the more common intestinal parasites that cats may develop. They infect the small intestine and lead to digestive system issues. Hookworms latch onto the intestinal wall and use their teeth to live off the blood of their host. If untreated, a hookworm infestation can be fatal, especially in kittens. Not all cats infected with hookworms show signs of infestation, but there are certain symptoms to be on the lookout for. These include lesions on the bottom of the paws and in between the toes, where the hookworm has entered the skin, coughing, an indicator that the hookworm larvae have gotten into the lungs, dark, tarry stool, diarrhea, and constipation. If a cat is infected with hookworms, she may experience weight loss and a decrease in appetite. In the long term, weakness occasionally develops. Your kitty may also develop anemia as a result of blood sucking by the worms. The blood loss due to a single worm in 24 hours can be up to 0.1 milliliters. Pale gums can also be an indicator of this. Symptoms may not be as pronounced in older cats as in kittens. Our pets can become infected with hookworms in a few ways. Hookworm eggs are passed through the poop, where they then hatch into larvae. Cats may contract hookworms via drinking water infested with the larvae. They may eat an animal infected with hookworms, or the larvae penetrate the skin, usually through the feet when walking on infected soil, sand, or litter. Kittens can become infected when drinking their mother's milk. Outdoor kitties and those in shelters are more at risk for becoming infected with hookworms, although indoor cats can still get it. Once the larvae are inside the cat's body, they make their way to the lungs, then the small intestine, where they mature into adult worms. These reproduce eggs that then pass through the poop. It takes anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks from the time of the initial infestation for the cat to be able to pass the hookworms onto other cats, animals, or even humans. Side note, it's important to wear gloves when cleaning the litter box and to wash your hands thoroughly if your pet is fighting a hookworm infection. Hookworms are most commonly found in environments that are warm and moist. Bad sanitation and overcrowding can allow hookworms to thrive and cause a very severe infestation in cats. Hookworm eggs and larvae are not visible to the naked eye, so diagnosis requires microscopic examination of the cat's poop. It's mixed with a solution that makes the eggs float to the top of the sample so they can be seen under the microscope. Hookworms typically reproduce on a daily basis, so infestations are easily noticeable. Some labs also test the cat's poop for hookworm antigens, proteins specific to hookworms, which is an even more sensitive and accurate test. Once a kitty tests positive for hookworms, there may be a need for additional testing, including a urinalysis and blood work, so your vet can determine the necessary course of action. These tests will look for low hemoglobin levels, indicative of anemia, and low kidney function resulting from dehydration. A number of drugs are approved for the treatment of hookworm infestations. In cases of severe anemia, blood transfusion may be necessary until your kitty can replace her own lost red blood cells. Iron and nutritional supplements may also be needed until iron levels return to normal. If the cat is dehydrated, IV fluids can be given, with frequent tests to ensure the heart and kidneys are responding well. Pregnant cats infected with hookworms should be given the medication 2 weeks after breeding and continue treatment until 2 to 4 weeks after giving birth to get rid of any possible worms in the intestine and lower the risk of infecting their newborn kittens. Infected kittens should be given medication after they've reached 3 to 4 weeks of age and continue treatment once a month to ensure that all the hookworms have been cleaned out. Roundworm. Roundworms are the most common parasites that infect cats. Almost every cat or kitten I've brought from outside has had them. There are many species of roundworms, and two of them cause disease in cats. These worms are 3 to 5 inches long and live in the intestines, consuming the food your cat eats and making her weak. This weakness can make kittens prone to viral and bacterial infections and other diseases. There's even a small risk for you to be infected by your cat's roundworms. Adult female roundworms living in a cat's intestines release eggs that are passed out in the cat's poop and into the environment. These eggs develop into infectious larvae that cats can pick up when they walk through infected soil and then clean themselves. A pregnant cat can pass on the infection through the placenta to her kittens during pregnancy. Kittens can also get roundworms through the breast milk of an infected queen or by ingesting the parasite eggs. Most animals get infected by eating other animals that have consumed the larvae. Kitties are susceptible at any age, but kittens are most likely to get roundworms. If they do, they could develop a poor appetite, diarrhea alternating with constipation, and weight loss. Their growth will be hindered, and their coat will appear dull. Vomiting is common, and you may see worms in the vomit. These worms are usually large and alive. If the worms are large in number, they could reach the lungs. Should this happen, your cat will develop a cough. You may see a frothy discharge from the nose, pneumonia, pulmonary edema, breathing difficulty, and it could even cause death. There is an easy way to know if your pet has picked up roundworms. Look for a potbelly, especially if she's a former feral or stray you rescued from the street. This is the surest sign that she needs to be dewormed. If your young cat seems to be weak and not gaining weight, take her to the vet. Roundworms are diagnosed by examining the poop for worm eggs. A fecal test that detects specific roundworm protein antigens is also available. Many drugs are effective in the treatment of roundworms in cats. The most commonly used are pyrantel, fenbendazole, amidepside, ivermectin, and moxidectin. Since kittens are very prone to roundworm infection, they should be treated every 2 weeks between ages 3 and 9 weeks of age. Beyond 9 weeks, and for adult cats, this preventative treatment should be given monthly. Giving a course of treatment to your cat when she's pregnant will protect kittens from getting infected. Like fleas and other parasites, worms can be a pain in the neck to deal with, but they absolutely are treatable. And with persistence and sticking with medications and treatments, your kitty will be feeling better in short order. Thanks for listening to the Whole Kit and Caboodle podcast. You can find more episodes of the show on most major podcast directories, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and others. If you enjoyed listening, be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. It helps me out more than you know. If you'd like to support the show, feel free to get in touch via social media. Don't forget to follow on Facebook and Instagram at Kit and Caboodle Pod, Twitter at Kit and K-Pod, and YouTube at The Whole Kit and Caboodle. Don't forget you can also support me on my Anchor page at anchor.fm/kitandcaboodlepod and make a direct donation on my website at positivecatitudebehaviorist.com/mystory. If you require my professional services, you can contact me through my website, positivecatitudebehaviorist.com, on the consultation services page. You can also sign up for podcast membership via the membership tab. I'll see y'all next time.